So today we continue our series on the 10-point simple statement of faith that gave out at the beginning of the year. There's some copies on the back table by Joe if you don't have one. But it's June and I've been doing one a month so far, so we're on point number 6, which says, I believe all people have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I confess that I, too, have sinned and am in need of forgiveness. So before we begin with the sermon today, I want to give you 3 words to remember. They all start with R. So if you remember nothing else from this message, I want you to remember these 3 words. They are record, reveal, and redeem. Record, reveal, and redeem. I want to propose to you that God knows our record. God knows our record. And God reveals to us through His Word what our need is. And God redeems us through Jesus Christ. So those 3 words tell us really the entire story of the gospel in 3 words. You've got a record. God reveals to you what you need, and He's got a plan to redeem us. So as we go through the sermon today, I want you to listen for those 3 words, and it'll kind of give you a map of where we're at in the sermon so you know when you get to go to lunch. I want you to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 8. If you're reading the Bible chronologically, as many of us are, then you read this chapter last night or yesterday sometime. 1 Kings chapter 8. And I think it's neat how it fits that I just happen to be preaching today on sin and point number 6 in this long series. I had no way of knowing that we're going to read 1 Kings chapter 8. But it fits. And I'm looking at starting in verse 46. What's happening here for context is Solomon has just fairly recently, at least in the record, become king of Israel, and David wanted to build a temple, but God said, no, you're a man of blood. We're going to have your son do it. And so Solomon became king, and Solomon built the temple, and now it's standing there magnificent, lots of gold and bronze and elaborate decorations and wood, and he's holding a dedication service to God. And verse 46, I'm going to read several verses. Turn with me and read there if you would. Follow along. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46. I'm reading in the NIV. It says, when they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and give them over to the enemy who takes them captive to his own land, far away or near. So this is Solomon talking to God. He's saying, I know that the people are going to sin. When they do, because nobody is without sin, and when they get taken captive, he's already foreseeing the future. He knows what's going to happen because everybody's sinners. Verse 47, and if they have a change of heart in the land where they are held captive and repent and plead with you in the land of their conquerors and say, we have sinned, we have done wrong, we have acted wickedly. And if they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their enemies who took them captive and pray to you toward the land you gave their fathers, toward the city you have chosen, and the temple I have built for your name, verse 49, then from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their plea, and uphold their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Forgive all of the offenses they have committed against you, and cause their conquerors to show them mercy. Did you hear that? Solomon gives us the entire sermon that I'm about to give in five verses. In verse 46, he says, "There's no one who does not sin." In verses 47 and 48, he says, "We have sinned, we have done wrong, we have acted wickedly." Or he knows that that's going to happen. And in verse 49 and 50, he says, "When they turn back, hear their prayer, forgive your people, show them mercy." So that's the whole story right there. You have a record. God will reveal to you your need, and he's got a plan to redeem you. And Solomon wrote those words nearly 1,000 years before Paul wrote in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We're familiar with that one, but maybe not as familiar with 1 Kings chapter 8. Paul borrowed those words from Solomon from 1,000 years earlier. There is no one who does not sin. Not kings, not prophets, not apostles, not pastors, not you, not me. There's no one. And so that brings us to our first word, record. Maybe some of us at some point, well, let me start with this. Let me see a show of hands. How many of you have ever got a speeding ticket? Okay. So we broke the law. That one's not too uncomfortable to confess, because we'd say a lot of people do that one, right? And it really doesn't, what's the harm? It doesn't harm anybody. You pay a fine and you move on. But now, if I were to ask for a show of hands on how many have watched pornography this week, I'm sure there's probably not as many hands going to shoot up, right? Many of us have had to have a background check at some point, maybe for a job, maybe for a license, maybe for a volunteer position, and you fill out the forms, you answer the questions, and you put down the dates that you did this and that, the best of your ability, and then you sign your name at the bottom that says, "I attest that this is true and accurate to the best of my knowledge." And even if you've not done anything criminal, it's a little bit unsettling to have somebody looking into your background to see, and you kind of wonder, what are they going to uncover here? It says they're looking at arrests, and they're looking at your credit history, and they're looking at this and that. But imagine if God conducted a background check on each of us. And not just your criminal history, not just your credit history, but he's looking at your actions. He's looking at your thoughts, your words, every selfish decision, every angry outburst you've ever had, every time you've been driving in traffic, every time you've been at a fast food restaurant and they got your order wrong. How many of us would pass the background check? Solomon already gave us the answer. There's not one single one of us that could pass. There's not one of us that doesn't sin. Every single one of us has a record of sin. Now, before you get discouraged about that, be encouraged with what's to come here. Record is not the last word. Record is not the last word. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. And we'll look at our second word, reveal. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So like I already said, notice how closely Paul's words match Solomon's from 1 Kings chapter 8, where he said, "There is no one who does not sin." Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, using different words, but the same truth as Solomon had in all of his wisdom. So the Bible really speaks with one voice from Solomon to Paul, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The message is consistent. All have sinned. And if we're honest, we already know that, don't we? We already know that. But we pretend like we don't know that. Or we pretend like somebody's sins are worse than mine. We like to compare. We like to rank certain sins. Like it's fine to raise your hand and say, "I've got a speeding ticket. I broke that law." But there's some that we would definitely not feel comfortable if I started naming out sins and asking people to raise their hand. And we were talking about that in Sunday school a little bit. Like, how do we know if it's safe? How do we know if we can trust somebody enough to confess to them? And I didn't really comment in Sunday school because it was just a discussion. But I don't think we do feel safe confessing our sins to each other, do we? We look for someone else who's made bigger mistakes than ours, and we comfort ourselves by saying, "At least I'm not as bad as that person." And Jesus told a story about a man who did that exact thing. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 18. We're going to begin in verse 11. Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 11, I'm going to read a little bit. Really verse 10. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. Now this is the same temple that Solomon, that Solomon had dedicated in 1 Kings 8. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. "God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, robbers, evildoers." Remember George W. Bush, evildoers. "Adulterers, or even like this tax collector here." Verse 12, "I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Verse 14, Jesus said, "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Almost said exhausted there. So the tax collector admitted that he was a sinner. The Pharisee was a sinner too, but he defended his record, or maybe denied his record. The tax collector was not pretending. He wasn't using excuses, wasn't comparing. He was just honest. So the tax collector's prayer sounds very much like Solomon's words in 1 Kings chapter 8 when he said, "We have sinned. We have done wrong. We have acted wickedly." So that's reveal. God reveals to us our true sinful nature when we will humble ourselves and pray. So let's go back to where we started, back to 1 Kings chapter 8. After speaking of people confessing their sins, Solomon says, "Then, from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their plea, and forgive your people." Forgive your people. What beautiful words that is. Those are. The story of the Bible is not merely that everyone sins. The story of the Bible is that God forgives those sinners. So if you haven't marked your place or put something in there or folded over the corner of 1 Kings chapter 8, I would encourage you to do that and go back and read it if you didn't read that one yesterday. And then also remember in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. I can't remember if I said that one out loud yet or not this morning, but Romans chapter 5, verse 8. If you haven't marked that one, that's a good one to look at. It says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So God doesn't wait for us to get all cleaned up and perfect before he'll forgive us. God doesn't need us to fix ourselves before he can work with us. It's not after we've cleaned things up. It's while we were still sinners. In fact, before we were even born, before we were sinners, Christ died for us. And that's what redemption is. So the third word in our series here is redeem. Christianity is not the story of people who could pass God's background check. Nobody can. Christianity is the story of what Jesus did that none of us could. So I want you to imagine standing before God and the record comes out. Every failure, every sin you've ever done, every selfish act, every wrong motive, every unkind thing you've said to somebody at Wendy's who got your cheeseburger wrong. It's all there. The verdict is in. It's guilty. But Jesus steps forward. I want you to imagine this. You're standing before the throne of the Almighty God, and he's got the record. He doesn't even need to write it down. He just remembers everything. But what if he had it written down there? And Jesus steps forward. And it's not to argue that you didn't do those things. It's not to try to justify that some of those things were okay, like a defense attorney, like, "Well, but this is the context." But he steps forward to say, "Yes, though this person is guilty, I'll take their punishment. I took their punishment already." That's what grace is. That's what mercy is. That is redemption. Jesus has redeemed us from certain death and destruction. So I want you to remember those three words in closing. We all have a record. Might not be criminal, but we've all failed. We're all guilty. And if we humble ourselves and pray, God will reveal to us what we need to work on and reveal to us what his plan is. And that plan is redemption. So we've got a record. Reveal, redeem. Record, reveal, redeem. That's what I want you to remember in closing. Got another song here that we've got the words on the screen.